I see numbers. Testing, one, two, three. Good to go.
One to the March 9th, 2015, regular Othello City Council meeting. And I'd like to call this meeting to order. Would you all please rise? I've asked Eugene Vain to lead us in a short prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come and make wise decisions for the city, Lord, through you. And we pray blessings over this town, Lord, and everyone in it. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May be seated. Move to item 1.3, roll call on our agenda. And Angel Garza had a family matter come up, and so called me at 5 o'clock and asked to be excused. All the other council is present, so at this time I'd entertain a motion to excuse Angel Garza.
Make the motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to excuse Angel Garza from tonight's proceedings. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item 1.4, citizen input. This is the time when citizens have an opportunity to address the Othello City Council. If you'd like to address the City Council with any matter, you raise your hand, I'll recognize you. You can come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and you'll have up to 5 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the Othello City Council? Okay, hearing none. Before I approve the agenda tonight, we had a last second request from our police chief. The police department has been looking at different jumpsuit/uniforms for the department. And so, Phil, do you want to fill in the council tonight?
Yes, sir. And thank you for slipping this in. Todd Gilbert, one of our newest sergeants, is actually wearing the demo of the mid-weight. This would be worn winter, a little bit in the spring and fall. They would have a summer weight uniform that they'd wear in the summertime. But this is the jumpsuit. He's been demoing it for almost a month. We've got a lot of positive feedback on it, but as promised, I wanted to bring him in front of council so council could see it.
Okay.
A lot of what they're liking about it, obviously it has the reflector on the back where it says police, where our current uniform doesn't have that. It's gone to a slick uniform, so it doesn't have badges and name tags that rip off. Has obviously enough pockets for, you know, all of the, you know, equipment.
Is that a full pocket? Does that come with it?
Exactly what you're seeing. It's a custom-made uniform with multiple pockets.
Pockets here, pockets on the side, on both sides. Pockets here.
But is that a cell phone pocket there?
That's actually, he's got a cell phone in it, but that's where the watch guard recorder would go for the in-car camera.
Oh, okay.
Some of the pluses that you probably don't see, it actually has pockets down around his ankles. Those are for first aid kits. It also puts a taser on the leg. So for some of us that aren't eating enough, we need a little more room on our belts. That's what that helps out with. So
very good,
this is
Sergeant.
It.
Thank you, Sergeant. Phil, council. Comments? I like them.
Yeah,
they look very good.
We wanted something that would look positive. It's not sloppy. They are custom made, so depending on the size of the officer, it would be made to fit. So wear and tear wise, we believe they'll last quite a bit longer than the existing uniforms. So, and actually this model shed water, so if he gets into mud and rain, he probably wouldn't even have to put his coat on.
And they don't have to be dry cleaned, right, Chief?
No, we actually will be able to, with these, eliminate almost completely our dry cleaning bill. This is machine wash, either hang dry or machine dry.
Are they polyester or cotton?
It's actually kind of a neoprene, kind of like a swimsuit a little bit.
Oh, okay.
The
Well, it has the sleeves that I'm...
And the sleeves do come off.
So you could use them for summer.
So the summer weight is a lot thinner, so it actually breathes where this one's designed to shed water. Any other questions?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep.
Moved item two, approval of tonight's agenda. Can I have a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three is the consent agenda, and at this time I would entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda. Make that motion.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. I'll make note that part of that agenda is appointing, item is 3.5, appointing Gloria Rodello to the Othello Housing Authority Board. I just mentioned that for the record. She's going to be the newest member. We have a motion made and seconded to approve tonight's consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to current business, item 4.1, public hearing on a community development block grant, planning only grant. We have a presentation from our public works or community development director, Travis Goddard. Travis?
Good evening. For the record, my name is Travis Goddard. I am the community development director for the city of Othello. And I apologize because the memo that was actually in your packet was dated February 23rd. That was the date that I wrote it, not the date of the hearing, so I apologize for that. And the reason why I noticed that is I was debating whether or not I wanted to update that because I wanted to throw in some additional items for conversation, but I'll try and keep it brief here. So the Community Development Block Grant is administered by the Washington State Department of Commerce, and the program is aimed at qualifying communities to enhance the quality of life for low and moderate income residents, and Adams County and Othello are on that list of qualifying communities. The program essentially has six grant types: general purpose, planning only, public service grants, housing enhancement, imminent threat, and economic opportunity grants. And you should have gotten a copy of this handout sent to you, or it should have been on Board Docs, electronic version. It gives you a little more information about those. If you have any questions, I can answer that. The original staff memo included a request for permission to apply for $30,000 of planning only grants, and that is intended for improvement of community services, improvement of public safety, and further strategic planning. And in my memo, I outlined that we were going to use that to help pay for some of the comprehensive planning effort that we're currently going through. However, before I move on to that, the one thing I needed to point out, and that is that community development block grants have very specific public notice requirements, and it includes that there be both English and Spanish versions of the handouts and of the information that was presented to you. So there are some of those on the back table, and one of the quirks of the community development block grant is that it has to have a resolution from the city in order to apply for the grants. I think we had brought this up before when we were talking about the 7th Avenue grant, and that's why we're here today, essentially, that we would like authorization for the mayor to authorize the application for a grant. What I needed to add is that we've actually broadened our scope of this request. I'd like to ask that we have authority for more than just the planning only grant, because we've identified a general purpose grant opportunity. Each public entity or public agency is allowed to apply for one general purpose grant each year, and we got together with the ACDC and the Port of Othello to talk about how best to coordinate and figure out what would work the best. We identified the sewer line connection between where the trunk line will go south on First over to the port property, and it's essentially the concrete street alignment for this, and it qualifies because it is both an infrastructure and economic development, and it addresses recreation, health and safety, and economic opportunities because of our community qualifying as a CDBG-eligible entity. And the reason why we are asking for permission to apply for more than one grant is because they specifically scheduled an application workshop for March 30th at Big Bend Community College. I was able to register for that, and I got one of the 8 one-on-one sessions with Department of Commerce staff, and we've since got indications from ACDC, and it looks like the port will also be sending representatives to that workshop. So we'll have the opportunity to put forth our case and clarify what exactly they're looking for by having all three of these entities in the room. So again, we're trying to build that narrative to show that it's not just a specific city-centric plan, that we're working with agencies above and beyond just the city. So essentially, I'd like the council to authorize proceeding with those multiple grant opportunities. So that brings me to the recommendation. We recommend, or I recommend, that you approve the resolution modified to authorize the mayor to apply for any 2015-2016 CDBG grant that's consistent with either our utility planning efforts or our capital facilities planning efforts or our long-range planning efforts, simply so I don't need to delay these applications for a month or two to come back and see whether you think they're consistent with our plan. Any questions?
Is there a limit of how much you can apply for?
There is. It's $1 million. You can apply for one general purpose grant up to $1 million, and then each of the individual sub-grants have different numbers. For the planning only grant, it's $30,000. They typically give grants of $25,000. And the amount of money they have available for each one of those categories, these are the 2014 numbers, but like the general purpose grants is $8.5 million. Last year, I think they did 14 projects for the $8.5 million. The planning only grants is 350, which basically means that they will have anywhere from 12 to 14 planning only grants. So hopefully we'll be able to qualify for both of those grants that we're asking for.
So for that sewer line that you were showing us there, I don't think that would cost $1 million there. Can we go down that, I'm not sure what that other street is because we've talked about doing that whole area.
It is entirely possible. We were thinking initially in our first conversation, we thought that we would only be extending it from essentially the end of concrete over to the port property. But now it turns out that after talking with Terry, we could include more because there are going to be water already in that alignment. So we're just talking, the majority of this project would be sewer only, which is part of the reason why I kind of clarified my stance to be instead of X amount of dollars for a certain project, it would be nice to get authorization for us to react on the fly. And if we figure out a project that spends up to $1 million, we could do that.
Travis, weren't we going to include the road improvement as well? So
yes.
It's not just a sewer line, Market City.
Oh, okay.
Road is less, that starts bump up the price pretty good once you start putting road in there, as you know.
So are you guys clear on what the city's trying to do? Running a sewer line up to the port property where they have that soccer field and various commercial development. We'll just run it up to the edge of their properties. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then potentially, if there's enough money, complete concrete drive, basically past Evergreen Implement, behind the sheriff's substation, behind the county or the state highway department, and all the way out to their property, giving them a separate access?
We'll have to see what we can get, because theoretically the sewer line is over in the First Street alignment, so we'll need to bring it across underneath the highway and then get it all the way over, and then given however much we have left over, we'll build in whatever we can, as much as we can economically do, to complete as much of that as possible. Part of what I'm doing is the research into, you know, family wage jobs that typically come from industrial properties as opposed to agricultural properties, which is the majority of our jobs. So in building this narrative, we're going to be talking about, you know, that's almost a third of geographically of the city doesn't have sewer. So, you know, we're trying to look for ways to increase the diversity of our jobs, and that this is one of those strong economic indicators or tools that will help that engine get going. Plus the fact that the port is willing to put in recreation facilities and we're an underserviced city. So you start to see a lot of those arguments come together that would help support our position.
Thank you, Travis. Council, any other questions? Okay. This time I'd open this, thank you. I would open the public hearing to public testimony. Is there any citizen who would like to speak to this application for a general purpose and a planning only grant through the Community Development Block Grant Program through the Department of Commerce? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing at 7:18 p.m. And council, is there any other deliberation you'd like to have regarding this application? Okay. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve. The staff recommends approval of the resolution modified to authorize Mayor Logan to apply for any 2015-2016 Community Development Block Grant consistent with the city's various utility planning and capital facilities program.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Okay, we have a motion made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, Travis. Okay. The next item is on our agenda is 4.2, crime-free rental housing program ordinance. Yes, please, Chief.
Mayor and Council, we've now had the information meeting that we had on the 9th with Council. We then had a get together with some landlords here in town on the 19th. We had about 20 that came in. I also had landlords that came into my office, and I actually went and met one of them at her business. We've taken the input that they've given on the crime rental, and the specific or the majority of that input was two or more incidents of criminal activity at a specific location with specific tenants. That way, once, you know, because some of them have pretty big rental properties, their concern was that it wouldn't take too long before they did actually get those two. So we've implemented their changes with the wording. So at this point, what we have in front of you is a crime for rental housing ordinance with no fees. It's voluntary until there's two or more incidents of specific criminal activity at that location with specific tenants. There's an appeal process that's built in where both the tenant or the landlord could appeal it. It's a civil we're recommending a C5 civil infraction if there isn't compliance, and if the license is actually revoked, we would actually this would prevent that landlord from actually renting the property. The five main pieces are the licensing, which we're hoping we can voluntarily license. We've already got landlords that are wanting to voluntarily license. We've already got landlords that are coming in wanting or sending tenants in to do local records checks. We would put together a workshop that would be beneficial to the landlords in teaching them how to look for gang activity, drug activity, and other criminal activity. We would do the public records for the landlords and for the tenants. So, for example, we've already flagged to the HUD properties. And when there's going to be crimes at HUD property, we will periodically mail those to Dave Anderson so that he can actually see what's going on at their property. But we would be able to flag and do the same thing with other properties once people license with us. The crime-free rental housing addendum, there were no changes recommended to that. And the final part of it, it would be the pursuit of any remedies, and that's basically if there is criminal activity at that property, we're asking the landlord to deal with it quickly. So we believe that this is a valuable piece or a valuable tool that we can use to help deal with drugs and gangs. This would deal with rentals, keeping in mind that some gang members, some drug dealers actually have purchased homes. We'll be bringing a nuisance ordinance in front of council for that. So at this point, are there any questions?
Council? Just a quick comment, and I told Wade about this today, that actually I have a gentleman that came and visited me down at my business that has a few rentals in town. And he said when he first come to the meeting that night, he actually come to complain about it. He said by the time he left, he was completely happy with what was going on, and he plans to become a big part of this. And he was very excited about it afterwards.
Very good.
Okay.
Well, that's our hope, is that this is actually a partnership with us and the landlords. This is a market here where there's a line of people ready to rent. So I think that we need to help our landlords find good tenants. Mm-hmm. Much easier to find good tenants than get rid of bad ones.
Thank you, Phil. John Worling, I'd like to give you an opportunity to speak if you would like.
Okay.
John Worling is a landlord.
John Worling, a rental property is owned by Marjohn Management Incorporated. I would like to speak in favor of the resolution as proposed.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak to the? Okay. It's time then. I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance tonight.
Motion
made.
Second.
Seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Phil. Item 4.3, award sewer forest main on East Cunningham Road. Terry, you have a presentation.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. You're just here not too long ago. I brought to Council an emergency for getting our water from Well 9 back into town. And in that bid proposal, I had sewer in there, and the sewer project in there, which was probably roughly 5,600 feet of sewer. A portion of that still lies within the sewer or in the water project because it's part of the stub that runs under Highway 17. It lays about a foot off the water main and has to be CDF'd in at the same time, so that portion will stay in that water side in order to get under 17 and get sleeved back to town. Legal advised us that we should break off that portion of the sewer and go back out to bid by bid laws. So we did. We went back out. We went out to five contractors. Three of the contractors were full in-house with projects they had going. So when we contacted them, they told us that they were full, but they appreciated us getting that information to them so that they could bid the projects. They really appreciated that. The other two contractors that we did get bids back from was Pegram Construction and POW Contracting. Currently, POW is working on our concrete drive water line that extends to the port property. The bids came back. Pegram Construction came in at $144,431.09, and POW came in at $113,813.05. This portion of the sewer main will be approximately 4,420 feet in length. It'll run from Cunningham or the Cimarron at that first manhole there, stub to the north, and it will continue down that north side of the road, and it will connect roughly about where the water crossing would take off, about 500 feet west of the interchange there on 17. That's where it'll meet the stub that's CDF'd in with the water line to go underneath the road. Everything seems to be in order according to what we have for bids. We acquired a bid tabulation from our engineers. Our engineers have been down with the flu, so I haven't, I've got some calls in for him just to verify. The bid sheet is self-calculating, so the numbers get plugged in and then the numbers come out at the bottom. So at this point, the low bidder is POW and for the sewer main, force main. I think they're probably not too far out from finishing up over here, probably a week, and then they can be over here on this site here. So tonight I'd like to, staff asks that council approve POW as the responsible bidder.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Is there any questions, council?
Just one.
Yeah.
Not sure. So the city water line cost does not change at all?
The city water line cost that they bid will change, and that correction will be made as soon as I get with our engineer and Mr. Pegram. And it will change because there will be a portion of the sewer that he bid that will be backed out of that contract, and it will only cover the portion that was stubbed under the road. The rest of it will be covered with POW's contract.
Okay, so the $479,000 that was given previously for the city or for the water from Pegram is going to be lowered.
But that will cover the water, but you'll have there'll be roughly 617 feet of sewer that's involved in that. That'll bring that bid up just a little bit. I don't know the actual numbers. There's a bunch of numbers involved here to do that.
Bottom line is we approved an amount for mm-hmm. the city water under an emergency act, mm-hmm. and that amount is going to increase.
Yes.
Do we need to revisit that,
or
can we just let it go?
No, we're going to revisit it. That tally will change.
So we're going to have to vote on that again?
No, that dollar amount will just it'll basically it came in at about $632,000, and in that was $167,000 worth of sewer in that project. So that number will come down because you have to pull that number out and you only have to leave in 617 feet of sewer line in that project. So it will be less than what the actual bid was.
That also directional drilling is more than jack and bore?
According to our engineer, that the size of that 42-inch sleeve that would go under the road and jack and bore would be almost a wash between the two others on directional drilling. So they priced out the jack and bore because it was going to be the most expensive. And now they're down in directional drilling and what type of pipe to use. So there will be some change in that, but I don't see it to be over the bid that was actually approved. It'll be less. If there is a change, I'll bring it back to council and let you know.
You said that there is approximately 617 feet of sewer line still being left on the water project.
That's correct. That's a guesstimate.
Wasn't the sewer not a emergency?
The sewer
Just the water was an emergency?
The sewer isn't an emergency, but for us to get it stubbed underneath and against the water line, I have to CDF it in because I can't get enough spread between water and sewer. So I have to consider it a stub because there's not enough separation there in our right of way to make it sanitary. The only way I can make it sanitary by law is to CDF it in because there's not enough spread. I have 10 feet between them. They got to lay together as they go under that road.
Yeah, Terry, I think what Ken is getting at, and the question that's occurred to me is that piece of that pipe, that's the sewer pipe. Do we need to split that out and as a separate item and just award that to that 617 feet to Pegram as a separate item? It's not part of water. Is that what you're trying to ask
me?
Yeah. Just keep it clean, as far as the emergency piece of it. You know what I'm saying?
So what he's saying is the emergency is one price, which is the water line. Okay. The sewer, which is 617 feet, is a separate item, and then the bid amount here is a third item. Right?
Yes.
Do you have anything to add to that, Kelly?
Kelly, you want to?
Yeah, it is important to keep the water line separate, because that is what we had authority to issue the emergency contracting authority for. So we do not, it is important to keep the non-emergency part of that, which is the sewer part, completely separate from that. And so any sewer should go through the bidding process. And we can use the small works roster, provided it's under $300,000. So that, but that is important, because the city does not want to, it would not be a good idea for the city to do the any part of the sewer under the emergency authority.
But let me just add one more thing. Based on our research this morning, based on your question, Ken, if that 670 feet, whatever it is, 600 feet, it falls below the threshold, can't we just go ahead and give it to Pegram since he's going to be there anyway? If it falls below the 65,000, whatever threshold, and just say, okay, this part's separate, and show it's a separate line item. I guess that's a question for you and for Terry also. I don't know if it will or not, but it should, based on the price that you're getting here. So,
yeah.
Well, just to, real quickly, we'll have to follow the small works roster bidding process. We can do that in lieu of the sealed bid process if it's under the threshold, under the 300,000. The 65,000, and I
don't have to go up.
That's true. If it is under 65,000, that is correct.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, and that would be correct if it's under 65,000.
So I think it sounds like, Terry, what we need to do is just redo the contract, as we talked to Kurt this morning, and tease out those pieces that are the sewer piece, and make sure we got two separate pieces, one for the 4,000 something feet, and one for the 600 plus feet. That 600 plus feet we can give to Pegram. It sounds like if it's below 65, we can ask you how much it's going to be. And then the other piece, of course, we've already gone out to bid. So I think we're going to be okay.
Okay.
Doing it that way. That'll be our plan. If it changes, we'll let council know. Okay.
Okay. So tonight, then, the issue before us is this. $4,420 feet that we intend to do through this.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Council, do you have any other questions? Terry, is there any clarifications? Okay. So you have your marching orders. You know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
it's clear.
It'd be a lot easier probably. Is it Gray and Osborne still our engineer on this project? Is that correct?
Yes.
And so, when they get back from being sick and we can work out the details of this, I would like you to come 2 weeks from tonight and inform the council how this played out. Okay? And that, I guess that's my last statement on it. Is there any other statements? Anybody, any questions anybody want to bring up? Okay. We have a recommendation from staff to award this bid to POW Contracting as the lowest responsive bidder, in the amount of $113,813.05.
I'll make a motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Terry. Okay, at this time, on item 4.4, it's our annual Spring Cleanup Days proclamation. And this is a proclamation from the mayor. It's the 18th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days, whereas the city, in conjunction with Adams County Consolidated Disposal Services, Inc., Washington Carriers, Royal Organics, Oscar's Towing, Experience Merchandise, Adams County Development Council, Developmental Council, and Allied Waste, volunteers and citizens will join together to beautify the city. And whereas the city encourages our residents to dispose of old junk vehicles, appliances, yard debris, yard vegetation, and old computers and televisions in an effort to improve the appearance of the community. And whereas the students from our schools are encouraged to help clean up areas around our schools, and citizens are encouraged to pick up litter when they are out on walks around the city. Now, therefore, I do hereby designate the week of March 30th through April 4th, 2015, as the 18th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days. And I urge our citizens, civic clubs, and organizations to join together to make Othello a more attractive, friendly place to visit and live. Signed this 9th day of March, 2015.
Okay.
And we'll move on to item 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Yes, John.
I'd like to direct staff to look into the compliance committee meeting again and giving us a progress status report, so to speak, on what they're finding, what's being done. Just give us something back, some feedback on what's been happening, so we can. We haven't.
Yeah, we're still, we stalled out because a lot of reasons, but.
I don't want that to happen. I want it to continue. Yeah. I want it to come down hard and continue to be hard. Otherwise, it's just going to continue to get worse.
Okay, got it.
I drive around town and I'm not happy with what I see. So I want to know what the status is. What
is the chair of that committee?
Okay. Well, I'll be that. That's what you like.
No, I know. I'm just trying to hoop. Who is on it? Yourself?
Myself.
Gina?
Angel.
And Angel. Okay. All right. Okay. We'll have staff work with John and the committee. Did you?
Yes. I don't know if it's along the same thing with what John's talking about. I know we have an ordinance, and it's been getting really bad. People parking their cars in the front yard, abandoning cars in the front yard. It's getting bad. And I think we need to maybe send code officer out a little bit more looking for that or whatever. You know, just we need to tighten the reins on that. It's it makes our community, you know, not look like we are all working and striving for, you know, to have a nice, clean community. You know, I understand somebody pulls a car on the lawn to wash it, you know, and pull it off. That's one thing, but leaving stuff in the yard for weeks, months at a time, I consider I name 5 or 6 places right now. But
well, some of the things that I saw just in driving around today at you know, beautiful day out, go out and take a drive, is 2 or 3 hulked cars sitting in the driveway, getting parted out, and a trailer parked on a side street, blocked up, you know, a regular travel trailer pulled behind. And they're right across the street from the police officer. You know, those are definite ordinance violations. You know, they can't be parked on the street and left there. And the cars themselves, the whole car sitting out in their driveway torn apart, those are violations as well. We need to get back to going after this. Because that one street that I drove down was severe. It was bad. It wasn't just that one particular part. So that brought this to my attention, and this is what I want as to revisit again, okay?
Very good.
Yep.
Now we got the spring cleanup days too, and those whole cars can get towed off.
Which is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Also a further note. In our comprehensive planning process, those are some things that we'll address of standards that we're going to allow and not allow in the city. So Thank you, John. Is there any other unfinished business? Okay. Is there any new business that needs to come before the council tonight? All right.
Yeah,
I do have, yes?
Stand by one. Terry, did you want to talk about the well? Six?
Yep. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. Anyway, I came to council and I asked council to declare well three as an emergency so that we could get it replaced, get it fixed. Well, we started in November 1st of last year, and we just got this thing back in the hole after 3 months. And we just got it dialed in. We've got just a little bit of cooling fans to work on in the cabinet. And now we're into well six. And I asked that before when I came to council that I bring six back to the table. And I'm going to ask council tonight to declare it an emergency as well. And I've talked to the Water, Sewer, and Street Committee here, and can't express enough of the water that we've got to have within 3 months. We're going to need water in 3 months. It's going to take 3 months probably to get this well out of the hole, get it repaired, and get it back in the hole. Currently, right now, our vibration in this well, 3 years ago, we stuck it back in the hole as an emergency to get water to the city, to be able to hold the city's water, irrigation, all the potable stuff. We did kind of a farm trick on it, you know, because we didn't have time to take and do the full gamut on this well. So we've created a well, put it back together. We've got some vibration, and the vibration continues to escalate in the shaft. And we know that if we don't get it out of the hole, we're going to end up with more damage than what we have mechanical-wise. We know that we're mechanically losing GPM, but our pumping level stays the same. Right now, we're currently pumping 1,383 gallons per minute, and our pumping level is 298. We were pumping 2,064 here in November of last year. And as of February 11th, the last day it ran, we were at 1,300 GPM.
So your drawdown hasn't changed at all?
It hasn't changed at all.
So your pump performance has just gone to hell?
Yeah. And we kind of figured that because of the bowls. We had to stick the bowls back in. We had to straighten them out, stick them back in. We took some rocks from the last go around, but we had to put it in the hole. So currently, right now, it's going to require some shafts. We know that we can't do a run out on shafts because they're so pitted so bad when we took them out. So we flip-flopped them, we buffed some seats, and put it back together. So knowing in 3 months, knowing the bid process, knowing what we've got, we're going to need water. So that's why I'm here tonight, asking council for this request.
Council, would you be more comfortable with a statement from our legal with regard to this?
Well, he's asking for an emergency authorization to pull the pump and stuff. Do we have a price that we're looking at? Do you have a ballpark figure?
I don't have a ballpark figure on it at all right at this time.
How much was it the last time we did it? You remember?
Well, it's going to be over $100,000.
That's just to pull it and put it back in, probably. If there's pump repair,
it'll be more
45 to 50, because he's talking about shafts. Mm-hmm. You might as well, you
we
know,
got shafts,
look at your bearing
couplers,
tubes and stuff like that as well. So
we got column pipe, column couplers.
One thing I talked to Terry about when he made the phone call to me was taking the opportunity to video log the hole, but do that with aspect so that we can get an understanding of what's going on there and get a understanding that we can put our hands around. And then if there's something we can do with that hole at the time that we have it out, we need to address that.
Well, we've talked about this. And as far as doing something else with the hole while we have it out, based on the fact that well 9 is not going to be up and running until sometime in the summer, we don't need to, unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of time to do that with well 6, unfortunately. So what we're going to have to do is push that complete analysis probably down the road until we get a full water study, for one, water planning study. Because if we wait and get a, try and do some other things with well six, we're pushing ourselves into a situation we probably don't want to be in, which is we're in shorter water in the summer. Is that summed up, Gary?
Yeah, we don't, talking with Dan, we don't want to go there because we're going to end up, if we don't do something now, which we've put it off a couple of months to get three in the hole and get it dialed in, we're going to be June when this thing gets back up and going. It is our backup. It's our big horse on the mound,
right.
And we need it. But if we don't, we'll be down talking to the processors trying to cut some water back.
So the shaft that you're talking about that might need to be replaced, and if you have a bearing tube out or a couple of couplers.
Yeah, spiders.
Probably. I know that that well's had a history with destroying couplers. That stuff is off-the-shelf items that can be picked up rather easily, and you don't have any lead time on those?
I don't have a time frame on them right at this point. We've talked to Snyder, and because he did three, and there's a chance that he could have those, but I don't have that definite answer right there.
Okay. Well, some of the things I'm considering late are you can do sonar jetting that can open up basically let off blasting caps down in the hole, which causes a wave, a shock wave that goes out through the, and opens up the hole more. It actually increases your GPM sometimes. There's things like that can be done in one day. You know, you call the guy in and get it done.
We can explore that with the person we're going to use to do this.
Depending on what we see, if we video log it and get an opinion from a reputable engineering.
Okay, video log will cost how much, Terry?
I think the last time we did that was right around $1,800.
Okay, all right. So if you guys want to authorize that as well, we can do that.
I agree, we got to get it going because sprinklers are already on now.
Yeah,
they're running.
It's going to be a long and hot summer.
Yeah.
Believe me, we are working to the point where we don't have to do this all the time, okay?
No.
It's going to take a while.
That was one of the things I mentioned to Terry is that I understand we need the water and we have to get this done in the bid process. It's going to put us way too far out into the summer and we need the water before that time comes. But, you know, having to go out and declare an emergency every single time we have to do something to a well.
I agree with you. I don't like it either. But based on the age of our wells, the pumps and everything, and the past mistakes that were made on a couple of wells, based on this well nine situation where Kelly's been working hard to try and work with our hydro geologist and get with the ecology, but been having some issues with that, and he can fill you in if you'd like. So we're trying to get that resolved, which should have been resolved months ago, but we know what's been going on behind the scenes there with our engineering company. So with all that, we have another situation, and I don't like bringing it to you guys at all, but that's where we are. Kelly, you got anything to add on well nine situation?
Sure. Well, I can give an update on well nine. So I've been trying to work with the ecology, getting some clarification on what their issue is with well nine, and we're working on that. And I had a meeting scheduled last week that had to be delayed because of some information that I was still waiting on getting from our hydrologist. And I have that information. I'm going to be having a meeting with Department of Ecology tomorrow, actually, and hopefully have a clarification on what their issue is with that well as it is right now. And then we'll work from there. So I should have more of an update next week, or not next week, but 2 weeks from now, or Roger Reed, rather, will be here in my stead, because I'll be in a two-week trial in Yakima. But we should have an update.
Okay. What position, though, are you comfortable in position that the city is being put in by doing two of these back-to-back now? Do you see any issues with that?
Under the emergency authority?
Yeah, doing two of them back to back like this.
Well, I need more information. I understand that there's the issue with well six with pumping, it's showing signs that it's about to fail. The failure seems to be imminent. And so whether that's an emergency depends on, you know, how, what kind of notice we've had of that and how long that's been going on. And I don't have that information, but I would have to have that to be able to answer your question.
Well, I think we need to find that out first before we vote on this.
Okay, just to clarify, it has been going for a while, but our assumption was that we were going to get well nine up and running and in a timely manner. Since we didn't get it up and running in a timely manner, through no fault of our own, now we have to address well six sooner rather than later. If we got well nine up and running, we could have gone through the bid process and everything that we want to do with well six, but now we don't have that. So,
because you would have the additional capacity.
Right. The more we delay this, yeah. I'm telling you guys, the more we delay, the more we have a chance we're not water. So, you know,
I'm not arguing that point, but excuse my saying, I don't want to get caught with a pants down.
I agree with that, but
that's,
I believe
that's my, as a city, that's my concern.
Well, can we put it in these terms? Can we get authorization now to do this contingent upon him finding out if we're on solid ground? Would that work?
I would not vote on that.
And just one thing to add, because I'm getting caught up on these issues. I know they started before I was on board, but if the doing well nine, drilling well nine and getting that put together was a response to well number six failing. And then we have issues with well nine, with ecology and getting that approved. And of course, those are unforeseen. And that's the history we have. Then odds are we're fine under the emergency authority.
Well, one big thing that Terry had mentioned to me is we need, if we don't declare this emergency, we're going to have to put this out, and then the drillers are already going to be scheduled for other things. So there's no way we would even be able to get this done till maybe even after our peak time. And we've got a duty to provide water to everybody in the city and the plants.
Yeah, I agree with that statement, and I think that as the mayor, I want to encourage the council that you need to act, and you need to act tonight. Otherwise, the city is in jeopardy of running out of water. We're still flushing toilets, we're still taking showers, and we don't want that interrupted. And the I'm sorry?
You put a water in the lot already, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, if it ends up that we get well nine, you know, this approval here tomorrow, and we can go ahead and even with those lines coming in, the responsibility of the council is to authorize the staff to keep, I mean, this is our job. I mean, we're to keep water or supply water and sewer to industry and to our residents. And I believe with the information we've heard tonight that I think the council's within its authority to declare an emergency and authorize Public Works and the city administrator to act in the city's interest with a report back on the 23rd as to what specific action was taken. And if we make the motion tonight contingent, which I'm still fine with that, a contingent motion, authorizing that contingency, that if our legal counsel doesn't find any solid evidence that we have an emergency, then I think that we would have to then go to bid and go through that process. Okay? So are you guys comfortable with, I'm comfortable with either motion, so.
Just, I might say something here. It's what Wade's saying is it's real. It'll happen if we don't react, but we also need to react fairly quick with legal too, because it takes a while to put the driller together and the crane.
If nothing else, I make the motion. If nothing else, we pull well number six and get the pump looked at and get repairs made to it and put it back in the hole. If nothing else, that's that for the emergency, you know, funding or whatever that you're requiring for well number six. But once again, can I hear from you what the time frame is going to be for pulling, repairing, and putting back in?
from start to finish?
Well...
Your best guess, Terry?
My best guess is running off the three. Well, three, we pulled it. It took us 3 months to get it back in the hole and get it dialed in. 3 months.
3 months from now is...
June.
April, May, and June.
And if we don't get a driller in, or somebody in to get this done, we're not going to get one. Because we're going to get busy.
We'll be getting them from Montana.
And...
We'll be getting them from California.
And if I can add, I can have my... I mean, I can look at this situation. I can get the information I need tonight from talking to Terry and Wade. And I can have an analysis and answer back to the city tomorrow.
Okay. We'd appreciate that. Thank you for that, Kelly. This time, then, we have a request by staff to declare an emergency on Well 6, authorizing the city administrator to act, and contingent upon the legality of making this declaration of an emergency through our legal staff.
Make that motion.
Second. Okay, is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much, Terry. Item 7, council will also receive 7.1, approve planning commission minutes and department head reports. On executive session, I'd like to entertain a motion to add 8.2 potential litigation on that executive session, and that executive session I anticipate will last 20 minutes for both items. So we have 8.1 property acquisition, 8.2 will be for potential litigation, and this time I'd like to adjourn to executive session at 7:58 p.m.
Me too.
Trisha writes down exactly what she hears. I'm going to turn off.
Okay. We're back in session at 8:38 p.m. Having no further business, the council will adjourn for tonight at 8:39 p.m.